Hello and welcome to Fendt Show, conversations with entrepreneurs, where they share their challenges and lessons learned through their journey to earning a living doing what they love. I'm Diana Lopez, and welcome. Hello, hello, and welcome to Fendt Show. My name is Diana Lopez, and I'm very excited today because I have a very amazing guest, Takesha Harvey. Takesha Harvey is a highly versatile marketing professional with 15 plus years of brand management, strategic marketing planning, and market expansion experience. She has worked for Fortune 500 companies such as Macy's, Coach, Ralph Lauren, and Conagra Brands, and has proven track record of maximizing sales, profitability, and building client relationships. Since leaving her last role as marketing director at Conagra Brands, she has struck out on her own as a brand and marketing strategist, working primarily with small and startup businesses. She delivers a mindful approach to business, helping her clients find that point of connection with their customers. Hello, Takesha. How are you today?
Hi, Diana. Great to talk to you.
I'm so glad to have you here on the show.
I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. And well, before talking about your projects, I have a little type of icebreaker question. What was the first thing that you bought with your own hard-earned money?
Ooh, like first money I ever earned ever?
Ever. Ooh. If you remember. If not, you can say like the first thing, you know, that comes to mind.
I actually have something I do remember. When I was younger, like maybe fifth, sixth, seventh grade, my sister and I had a candy store. So when my mom would go to Sam's Club, we'd buy like, you know, Blow Pops and M&Ms in bulk. And we used to sell them after school. Like out of our house, kids would come by and we'd, you know, sell them the candy. And I remember buying some pink and white Nikes. I don't remember exactly what the style was, but I remember they were like $40 and my mom refused to pay for them because she was like, I'm not spending all that money on shoes. Now today, Nikes are, you know, ridiculous amounts. But $40 back then was a lot. And I remember like making money for throughout the summer and then going and buying these pink and white Nikes and being like, huh, see, I got them.
That is the cutest story I've heard.
Yes. Always an entrepreneur.
Always an entrepreneur. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here. And for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself. When you attend events and people ask you, what do? How do you respond in that, you know, quick elevator pitch kind of way?
Oh, well, you know, it's funny. I've recently changed my elevator pitch because I essentially am taking a more holistic approach to life. So I tell people that I inspire people to live their best life by living mine.
I mean, there you go. That's like, what do? You're applying it.
Yeah, I think because I'm a Jane of all trades. I mean, I also teach Zumba on the side, so I always throw that in to get my dance fix. So that's, I think that we all have different creative outlets and that we aren't just, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be just one thing that we do. So again, bringing our whole selves to the table is the best way that we can live our lives.
I love that. And now going a little bit back before you went independent and your new business came into fruition, before making that leap as an entrepreneur, could you tell us, you know, take us back to the day of like your last day in the job? How did you feel and what made you take the leap?
Well, so the last day, it was such an amazing day. I mean, I think that was probably the earliest I ever woke up and jumped out of bed and get ready to go to work. I don't think my alarm clock went off or... I remember I just had like this permanent smile on my face. I mean, even leading up to my last day, you know, because I'd actually given my boss a month's notice and then we made it public to everyone else like within 2 weeks' notice. And everyone just kept saying, you just seem to be glowing. And I just made no efforts to suppress that. I really was happy. And I think people were, you know, some, you know, just very just envious of the leap that I was taking. And people would pull me aside and say, you know, wow, that you're so brave. I wish I could do it too, but X, Y, and Z. And so I found that to be just even more motivational that, wow, I'm like taking this step to kind of walk in my purpose and do the things that that I feel I'm called to do. And I just remember that last day was just super exciting. I was just like giving everything away. And
take my pens.
Right. You want these books? You can have them. But it was like such a, that's how I also knew it. I was doing the right thing because, you know, it's also it's not all roses and cheerful and glee. It was extremely, it was scary. Like, I didn't know what exactly was going to be on the other side, but I just felt this overwhelming sense of like calm in terms of I'm doing the right thing. You know, I always use this barometer of to test my decisions. Like, do I feel like I'm shrinking or do I feel like I'm expanding? And even if I'm afraid, you can still feel like you're expanding and be afraid. That means you're walking in the right direction. I feel like that is your intuition telling you which way to go, and you can move past the fear. It's really about kind of connecting to where you feel, you know, your inner voice, you know, not just your head, but like your inner, your heart, your gut is telling you to go. And despite the fear and some of the anxiety of not knowing what was next, I did feel like this calm of like, I am doing the right thing. I'm going to expand and grow beyond, you know, the role, the path that I was currently on.
I love that. And can we go into the practical steps that helped you prepare for your leap, or if we can say your purpose?
I think that's great. Like, I, you know, wanted to, and throughout this process, I like journaled and I was like, I need, some friends had told me like, write down like what you're feeling, what you're doing. Because I think a lot of times, you know, people go through this and they talk about making it on the other side. They're like, yeah, I quit my job. And you're like, okay, but how did you quit? Like, yes. How can I do this too? And I was like looking for things and it was very airy fairy. And I needed some more grounded, tips. And so as I went through the process, I was like, you know, I'm going to document this so that when people ask me what to do, I'm going to say, literally, here's what I did. Here's the steps that you can take. It was basically three steps. And the first one is really, the planning process. So saving the money, you know, and dealing with the money. So I was like, okay, here's what my monthly bills are. Here's my debt. Here's how much it takes for me to live. And so I literally started probably 3 years before I quit. Like, I knew at some point I wanted to get out of corporate America. And so I just started saying, you know, let me just start paying off my debt and reducing my expenses as low as they can be so that, you know, when I can just start saving money. And then if I want to quit, I can just have enough money saved to take a year off. And so that's definitely the first step, figuring out the money. Like, I opened an online savings account. I titled it Freedom Fund so that I can always look at it as my God.
I didn't know that. I love it.
There is power in naming, you know, your goals and naming, you know, when you're saving money, whether it's for a vacation or for me, like I named it my Freedom Fund because I knew like this was, to me, it was like, getting my freedom back. And, you know, as I saw, you know, the goal, as I saw the money start to compound and grow within that, I felt more and more, you know, confident that, okay, this is happening. I'm going to be okay. And so I highly recommend doing that. And then I think also getting, while you're still working, you can get comfortable with what's next. You don't have to just quit and say, okay, now I need to figure out what's next. Like, while you're still working, you can start to, I started attending like entrepreneurship conferences. I started networking with different entrepreneurs, just having conversations to get myself comfortable with, okay, what is life like as an entrepreneur? Is this a path that I really want to go down? Will I be successful? You know, just to, you know, kind of make myself a little bit more comfortable and knowledgeable about what was going to happen next. And then the last thing I did within, like, you know, before I took the leap was, you know, I determined a quit date. So within my Freedom Fund, and I, you know, I was saving each month, it was like, you know, by X date, you will have met your goal. And so I said, okay, by July, the end of July, 2017, I'm going to quit. It was July 28th was my quit date. And the benefit of having a quit date is, you basically, it helps you to align to that date. So when it came to, you know, saving money, it was like, okay, do I want to buy these new shoes or do I want to quit on July 28th? And that made the decision really easy because it was like, okay, I have a higher goal in mind and I know that their benefits are going to far outweigh any small sacrifices that I make right now. And so that helped me to keep focus.
And that was your magic date, July 28th?
Yes. July 28th. That was my corporate retirement date. or corporate dropout date. So that was like, I would say the preparation part. The next step that I think is really critical, is really understanding that you're probably going to go through a lot of emotions once you quit. You know, you're going to have a lot of people who may project their fears on you, like, oh my gosh, you're quitting, but how are you going to make money? And you're like, and you have to be prepared for that. You have to give yourself some breathing room. Like, this is going to be a new journey. It's not always going to be perfect, but like, understand that it's like you're a toddler now and you're building, you're learning to walk and you have to kind of, you know, give yourself some breathing room, and to accept that you're not, you know, you probably are coming from a position where you knew how to do everything and now you're starting over in a different lane and you're going to have to, you know, humble yourself and ask for help. And there are tons of people to help and that are more than willing to help, which I found. And that has helped me through the process to help, you know, with some of the anxiety and those fears that came up. The other thing that helps a lot is really just taking some time to rest and recharge. And that could be through traveling or doing traveling abroad, which is what I did for basically a year. Or it could be just experiencing new experiences where you are. But basically, you're shifting from your old environment, maybe an old job and an old routine, and you're shifting to a new one. And so you're throughout that process, it's really important to kind of just get comfortable with not knowing what's next and really being inspired and invigorated by new experiences. So for me, a month after I quit my job, I went to Africa. I went to East Africa for, I went to Kenya on a safari, and then I went to Tanzania. And for part of that time, I was by myself. And then, as you know, Diana, we met in Cape Town where I was ended up staying for 6 weeks.
Which was wonderful.
A beautiful experience. One of the highlights of my, of the past year of my life. And I mean, I would consider that to be life-changing because during that time, it was where I decided to start my business, because I was inspired by, the people that were there that, you know, were doing so many alternative. It basically showed me there's alternative ways to make money. I don't only have to make money by going to this corporate job, doing these things and collecting a paycheck. There's more than enough abundance available. And there was room for me to kind of walk in my purpose and at the same time support myself. So travel, taking the time to rest, those are also really important. And then like building a new routine. So, you know, I started the day, and again, from advice from different people who've gone through this process, it's like basically start each day with, you know, either meditation or prayer, but basically like set your intentions for the day. You know, what do you want to get accomplished today? Even if that's, I want to go to lunch somewhere new and I want to go work out and, you know, I want to, you know, write a blog post, whatever those things are, you're going to need something to serve as markers for productivity, because you're kind of going from an environment. I was going from an environment where, you know, my day was basically planned for me. I knew I had these markers for success. You know, I have quarterly reviews. You know, when you strike out on your own, there's nothing, you can easily fall into feeling unproductive and feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing anything. So when you start your day out with like, you know, setting your intentions for the day, those really serve as mile markers for your progress and to keep you moving forward. Again, also for, you know, when you're feeling like anxious, you can actually look back and say, okay, I am actually moving forward. I am accomplishing things.
Perfect. Wonderful. And just to summarize these steps. So number one, steps to take before you leap is planning your money. Yes. Get comfortable with what's next and have a quit date.
Yes.
And number two, tips on tackling anxiety, which is travel. Give yourself breathing room and start the day yes. with meditation or intentions.
Yes.
And how do you do that process when it comes to intentions? Do you like write down in a journal, or what is your process?
So for me, I do, every day I started actually just writing, and I'm a doodler too. So I always have notebooks, and I just started writing in a notebook, every day. So I would kind of do 10 minutes of meditation. I'm a newbie to meditation. And so I would just do 10 minutes of meditation. And then I would go, usually to some place to work for the day. And I would, before I start working, I just write down, you know, what are the things I want to accomplish today, just today. And I started out actually doing it for the week, but then I changed it just for the day because I found that, It just helped me to be more productive if I stuck with a shorter time frame. And writing it down helps me to be able to look back at it as well. And so right now I actually got one of the happy planners and with all the stickers, because I love art and color, and I have a bunch of different pens. And it's like, why not make it, you know, fun to look at? Yes. And so I just, again, do that in my calendar. And the benefit of that also is I can see by day when I look back and reference what I accomplished. It's great to have a reference point. So when you're, again, feeling like, am I making any progress? Am I doing anything? You can actually go back and say, oh, I had these meetings. I'm continuing to have conversations with people. I did X, Y, and Z. And kind of reassure yourself of the progress that you're making.
I love that. And how about, you know, now that you started your business, and as you know, you mentioned you started it in October when we met, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
How do you keep the momentum going?
So this is the part that I think most new entrepreneurs struggle the most with. And I don't know how much it's talked about or in terms of having like practical tools to deal with it. It is an emotional roller coaster. And the transition, like I said, it's probably a bigger transition than we give credit to. So one of the things that I learned back when I was still working in corporate, and it was a couple years before I quit, and I was looking to, I was feeling stagnated, and I knew I needed to level up my career. I was looking for a promotion. I was looking for, you know, opportunities at a higher level. And so I hired a resume writer, and, you know, to get this process started, she was like, okay, do you have a brag book? Like, can you give me your brag book? And I was like, what is that? And she said, basically keep track of all of your accomplishments. Anything that, you know, you're proud of, anything, any milestones that you made in your career, any projects that were really successful. And, she was like, she worked in HR previously. And so she was like, she would always, counsel people on doing that throughout the year, so that when it came time for their year end reviews, they had a running list of all the things that they accomplished that they could easily present to their manager. And so I think that this same process works as an entrepreneur. So even before I transitioned, so I worked in marketing previously, and you know, now I'm working with businesses, smaller businesses, on branding and marketing. And it's like, I was thinking like, oh, I'm starting from scratch. And no, I'm not starting from scratch. I've been doing this for 16 years. So I literally wrote down, you know, just even starting with my resume, here are some of the projects that I worked on. Here are some of the experiences that I had. Here are the wins that I had. And they may have been within a larger corporate structure, but those same activities, those same marketing accomplishments were transferable. When I'm talking to new businesses and new clients, I can tell them, okay, when I worked on X, Y, and Z account, this is the transformation that I worked on for that particular business. This is the project that I work on, and here's the win that I got. And that helps a lot to also reassure you of, you know, again, you have value to add. It may be in a different space now versus previously it was, again, in a corporate structure, but now it's, you know, everything's on your shoulders, but you still have those same skill sets. So the brag book is really helpful. Another thing that I find has been an extreme value is having an accountability partner and a support network. So literally the entrepreneurship journey can be very lonely. But like I said, there are people out there that are more than willing to share their expertise, knowledge, and yourself, Diana, you're one of them. I consider you in my support network.
Thank you.
If I need to bounce an idea off someone, I, you know, need just a mental check. Like, does this seem right? Am I communicating this right? You know, I've built that network, that support network of people. A lot of them that I've met, you know, through traveling, and because they're doing kind of similar, they're experiencing similar paths that I'm on. But also, you know, and I can check in with them, and then having an accountability partner, has helped tremendously in that I meet with her once a week, and we have a running list of things that we want to accomplish, or we can review like, hey, I've just put together this proposal. Can we review it? And we have different skill sets. And so that's been extremely helpful as well, because whereas she's a really good writer, I'm really good in tech, and so I can help her with like different tools, you know, helping her build different systems to help make her business easier. And she helps me a lot with like framing up my emails, or, you know, if I'm doing some cold outreach, she's really good at that. And so that has helped me to feel like, okay, we're almost like coworkers, on the same level and going through a similar journey. And so we're holding each other accountable for our progress. And then lastly, I would say, set clear goals for yourself and then celebrate your wins. With the daily intentions and with, your accountability partner having goals for the week, take time to actually look back and say, oh, wow, I did do that. I accomplished that. It's not just about going through the process and moving forward and not actually taking time to look back and see how far you've come. Those things help tremendously in, keeping the momentum going and not feeling like, oh no, because there are going to be ups and downs. But it's how you deal with the downtime that, that really, proves it out. Like you can make it, you can win. Use these tips and know that at bottom of every valley, the only place you can go is up.
Accountability partners, a brag book, and setting clear goals. And also celebrating. Yes. I mean, we're so good at celebrating our wins. I'm talking between like you and me.
Right.
And I wanted, could you please expand on the brag book? Is this something that you're applying as well for your testimonials so that our audience knows how to actually use and apply their brag book?
Yeah. So one of the things that, as far as a testimonial, so every client that I've worked with so far, I have a feedback form. It's just like 5 questions and it asks them, a few things, but mainly I want to get to like, what was the transformation that I helped impact? So I asked them like, what parts of our, how was your business prior to us working together? What changes have you seen in your business as a result of us working together? How do you feel after working together? And that's great insights too, to understand and tweak, like, what are your clients feeling about the process? Are there places where they feel confused? Are there places where, you may be adding value and you're not even realizing it? And then you can go and, maybe market that aspect of it. And then the last question is really it's a testimonial builder, the questions that I have. And then I ask them, do I have your permission to use, your responses in a testimonial on my website? And, everyone says yes, basically. And that, again, helps the testimonials. When you look back and refer to that, that has helped me shape my business as I move forward. Because I see, okay, are there similarities in areas that people find most helpful? And maybe I'm not promoting that area enough. Or maybe I can create a new service out of that specific area. So, for example, one of my clients said that I'd done, she's a vintage stylist and she had a brand that she just basically was a little bit all over the place. And she wanted some clarity around how could she essentially go to market and monetize the different aspects of her vintage styling. And so I came up with some pillars that she would have where she could be, be positioned as a personal stylist. So you can work with her directly, where she can, where she does YouTube videos and pop-up events, educating people on the power of vintage clothing. So that's one way that she has like an education platform. And then she had an online store. So you can either work with her from a styling perspective, you can kind of do it on your own with just understanding with knowledge and information. And then also you could shop online for certain key pieces. And so for her, it was, the benefit was like, okay, I actually helped her to see, to like bucket the different avenues of her business. And they all laddered up to vintage styling, but it was being delivered in different ways. And I realized for her, she was like, oh my God, you helped provide so much focus and clarity. Now I know where to put my efforts in and how to spend my time within each pillar. And so I was like, okay, that like, I feel like I'm providing, focus and clarity. And that's something that, I then, updated my marketing message to include, because I started to see that or hear that consistently, from the feedback that I got from my clients. It's like, oh, you're a clarity coach.
Yes. One client actually said, now you apply that to your elevator pitch.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's always good to, and that's part of the reflecting process. Like, look back, don't just do the work and go on to the next client. Like, take a pause, celebrate the win, and then take some learning, get the feedback. Because the feedback is not just for your future clients, but it's also for you, like to understand and make sure that you are the value that you're adding to your clients.
I love that. And now let's go to the other side of the coin. In this podcast, we also want to share, you know, a little bit of lessons learned, failures and obstacles that, you know, come into the road. So what would you say was the biggest struggle so far?
So for me, you know, I'd say the biggest struggle is wearing the sales hat, like putting myself out there and essentially selling. And Diana, you know this because I've asked you for your help and coaching along this realm to get comfortable with it. And that's all it is. It's just getting comfortable with it. Like it's something I never had to do because I worked in marketing. Basically, I didn't have to sell anything to get work. I mean, the work was there already for me. So now I have to essentially let people know about the value that I can add to their business. And that part of it has been the most uncomfortable, the most challenging, it's something that I'm continuing to build that muscle and get more comfortable with. I'm much better at it today than I was, a year ago. And that's all it is. It's just a new muscle. You just have to continue to use it, continue to look for different resources to help you do that. And that's actually somewhere where I actually got support and I hired a coach to specifically help me with the sales process, because I realized, you know, I needed more help there getting comfortable than just reading some articles online. And that's something that, you know, essentially I'm actually positioning my services with people to say, hey, you know, you can fast track your way to success by hiring me. And so I was like, I need to fast track my way to success. And I hired someone to help me. So that has definitely been the most challenging part of it. One specific example I can think about was I sent this cold email. You know, I kind of researched like how to send cold emails, and I actually got a bite. Like I sent an email, didn't get a response. A few days later, followed up with a second email, and then the person responded, and she was actually congratulating me on being persistent, because she was like, "Oh, I saw your first email, but I was busy, and it went to the bottom of my inbox, and I'm so glad you re-emailed me." And so I'm like, yes, when? And then, you know, we get to the point where we actually was local. And so we actually met and we had a great conversation. And, you know, I developed my proposal and she basically rejects it. And I was like, okay. And I realized from that, like, I didn't ask her about budget, right? So up front, you know, I should have known, like, kind of just gauged where she was in terms of a budget to pay for, you know, services to help with her marketing. And so she gave me a budget, you know, and I was like, okay, great. I can come up with something special for you. She was excited again, and it was within her price point, and I presented it to her, and I never heard from her, you know, again. And I was like totally deflated. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I did all this work for her and like, I didn't close the sale. And I was feeling like, I can't do this. I can't sell. And through just some, you know, talking with some friends who've been doing this longer than I have, they would say, you know, it sounds like it just came down to the budget. And sometimes people aren't ready to pull the trigger. And so then for me, I was like, okay, how can I revamp and really make it my sales pitch and the sales process really, really emphasize the problem that I can solve for the client? Like, how can I, you know, where is that barrier to purchase? And how can I really evaluate and get to their pain point and then position myself as a solution for it. And that's been an evolving process. And that's been, it's been, you know, not the most pleasant journey, but it's just been, you know, it's part of the process. It's not one that has stopped the show. I just had to get, like I said, get the help where I need and continue to move forward.
Yes. And I can completely relate to that, because it's also not a one-way street. You have to try everything, you know, cold calling, inbound marketing, you know, referrals, and, you know, sales is challenging, but it's, you know, you learn as you go, and not every audience is the same. So
Correct.
You know, since I sell B2B, it's very different for me, and it's different, you know, for yourself, but it's a learning curve, and I think you're doing pretty well. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And well, we want to talk a little bit about revenue here. What are all the ways that you are generating income, or are you trying to grow, you know, different streams?
So right now, I have three core services that I offer. So it's a brand discovery and marketing roadmap and those are really for businesses that are kind of on the front end. They either need help with identifying or creating a brand for themselves, or they need basically to kind of shore up their brand. They're not sure of how they're positioned in the market. What are their values? You know, what do they stand for, and how to easily communicate that to their audience? And then on the marketing side, it's really understanding. I take a step back before we go to executing tactics. I take a step back and really help them understand, like, who is your target audience? What are their pain points? How do you become more empathetic to your audience so that you are essentially, you can position your brand as a hero in the solution for them? So those are two services. And then I also do team training or brainstorm camp facilitation. So I can come in as a facilitator, you know, to help you basically identify white space opportunities. And through that process, it's essentially presenting different brainstorming techniques to really drive ideation, and then culling that down to a top two or three ideas and building out an implementation plan for you. And then with the team training, that is really kind of like a one-shot deal where I have a training on setting marketing objectives and then how to track results in order to assess and optimize for the future. And I still teach Zumba. So that is the income stream. It's more for fun, but it's, you know.
But it still counts. You know, it still counts.
Yes.
Oh my God. I love your videos. And well, let's change the tone a little bit and, you know, chat about continuous learning, which I know you do a lot. And yes. I know that right now you have an accountability partner, but do you have a mentor? Are you part of a mastermind group? And if not, do you have someone in business that you admire?
Yes to all and no, yeah, sort of. So I realized this more recently. Like, I tend to admire people that are closer in, people that I know. So I find inspiration. I probably found inspiration this one online person, Kathy Heller. She has a podcast called Don't Keep Your Day Job. And I listened to her prior to me quitting. And I listened to her prior to me quitting my job to kind of start to build, you know, build up the strength to quit, but also just to understand what are people doing. But from an ongoing basis, I think like I said, the people that I've met while I'm traveling who are actually doing it, I consider those to be my business mentors, because I feel like I can touch them and you know, versus someone that's, you know, online and that I, you know, that is out there. I personally have just found that real people that I know have been more impactful to me. And I think that the reason is, you know, part of my mission is to I believe everyone has gifts, and I want to make sure people feel like the walking in their purpose is accessible to them. And to me, the way that it's accessible is by actually seeing people who are doing it. So those are like, I'm like, basically it's like the real life heroes. Those are the ones that inspire and help me the most. So those are the ones that I look up to.
And while looking into the future, what is next for Takesha Harvey? Are you currently cooking up a new project, a new launch, a new product? We would love to know.
Yes, I'm actually working on a new service. It's called Ignite with Instagram. And it's really about teaching e-commerce business owners how to boost engagement and drive sales using Instagram ads. I'm going to start with a focus on the beauty industry, because I think it has I love that. I could go in a drugstore and spend hours on, like, you know, the skincare and hair care aisle. But the beauty industry is it's all about aesthetics, and Instagram is a visual platform. So I think they marry nicely. And I also think, you know, Instagram is an amazing platform because they have high engagement. You know, people are, I would say, in a happier place there, which can lead to more conversion. And I think it's a way for people to, I'm going to teach people how to use that platform, like build a process out for them to that's repeatable, that they can, you know, it's simple and it's effective and it works. And it, especially for those business owners that that are really busy, it's like, you know, you do it once, you get all the foundational learning there, and then it's repeatable over time. So that's coming up in the next month.
Fantastic. Can't wait. And I love to follow Takesha. And we are almost out of time, and we want to get to one of the last questions. For everybody out there that wants to launch their business, what would you say to them?
It's possible. That's what I would say. It is possible. I think everyone should have access to the tools to be successful. And I want everyone to feel like they can do it too, like they can walk in their purpose. And there's so many tools. There's no shortage of information. There's no shortage of ways to get there. Like I said, you can, there's lots of information online. When you start actually talking to people and telling them what you have an interest in doing, you'd be amazed at how much support, help, direction that you're able to get. So, my one thought is, you know, it is totally possible. Just start talking about it and start taking those steps and you will see, you know, the universe will provide.
The universe will provide. I love it. And well, thank you again. But before we go, can you share with our audience how they can find you, your website, and your socials?
Yes, I am at takishaharvey.com. That is T-E-K-I-S-H-A, Harvey, H-A-R-V-E-Y.com. It's the same, Takisha Harvey, on Facebook and on Instagram. And I have a personal Instagram page that follows my, you know, my digital nomad journey, and that is Creative Keisha.
Make sure to follow Keisha. She has amazing videos as well. Well, thank you for sharing your story. It's very, very inspiring, and I'm sure our listeners, they're going to take away a lot of knowledge, but mostly all those steps that you share with us, I think that's very on point. And I'm going to try to share as much as I can in the, you know, to write everything in the show notes.
Okay, awesome. And thank you so much for thinking of me. You're awesome yourself. And I look forward to watching you continue to be successful as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I admire you. So, well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And follow us on Instagram. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.